All right, okay. I will roast him now. James Rolfe. Okay. All right. Took me months to write this. James is an idiot. And he's ugly. Oh, such a loser. Oh. And James is stupid. He makes crumbs. He doesn't recycle. He doesn't tie his shoes always. So annoying. Come undone, I bet. He's slow at running races. I'm killing it right now.
Welcome to another episode of the Rollin' 20s. We are the crew that you teabagged in your latest Halo multiplayer. I am Jeremy.
Steve.
Jesse.
V.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Rolling_20s. You can subscribe to this show and several others in the MSP library at MissionStartPodcast.com. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm starting early tonight. You can send me any fan mail, suggestions, or hate mail at mspfreight@yahoo.com. What's the week been like for you guys?
Actually, pretty good. I've gotten 2 out of my 3 days for work. Supposed to work tomorrow, or not tomorrow, Saturday. So
okay.
Weather's starting to warm up again. I hate it.
Yeah, it's supposed to cool back down in a week.
It's raining here. I love it.
Ah, man.
Hey, you.
Oh, my goodness. It's been a very strange week. The big news that came out today is the 15th, a World Wrestling Federation wrestler has come out as openly gay.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
His stage name, at least, is Darren Young. He came out and said he's 100% gay. It's apparently not an act. It's not a storyline. It'll probably be made a storyline. But it is interesting to think that somebody came forward. Wrestling has always been one of those old-school type environments where gay people were just talked about, but generally not accepted. You know, I know for a fact Ric Flair does not like gay people. He said so in several social situations. But you know, if the guy's happy and he's able to talk about his life, why the hell not?
Yeah, more power to him.
Yeah, you know, and I also have tickets to SummerSlam this weekend, so it'll be interesting to see if that comes up.
Oh, shoot! I think it's coming over to Modesto next weekend.
It probably is. They're going to be in Los Angeles on Sunday, then Anaheim on Monday, then I don't know where they're going. I know they were in San Jose just they were in Sacramento just on Monday night for a live taping. I think they're swinging through San Jose, but I'm not sure.
I know there's going to be a live taping next Friday.
Yeah. Well, I may have to add pictures of this because this I collect third-party Transformers, at least recently.
Ooh, which one did you get this time?
I'm waiting on TF Source. They've got to be the slowest when it comes to this stuff because they have the last two aerial bots, or at least they're supposed to. The ones from TFC Toys, anyway. Unfortunately, some new company called Warbitron has shown up out of nowhere. And when third-party dealers have previews for things, they tend to release a lot of silhouettes and keep people guessing for a few weeks. No, Warbitron just decided to show like all their gay... not gay, jeez, that's back in the other conversation. All their gray prototypes all at once, and they've come up with a third-party Combaticons. Yeah, somebody put up a size comparison. This thing may be a hair taller than the TFC Toys Superion. And I saw them. They have new, of course, more current vehicle forms, but all the heads are reminiscent of the old cartoon. So, unfortunately, just when I think I'm getting ready to wind down on this stuff for a little while, suddenly this guy comes up with something and it might be like $500, $600 lighter pretty soon here.
What was the group called?
Warbitron.
Warbitron.
Yeah, Warbitron. And while V's bored in the back corner, we'll just go ahead and get started with the week. From our Kickstarter corner, that cosplay musician, that Project Cosplay, still only has 6 backers and $210 out of a $7,500 goal. But there's 16 days left in it. You know, I hope it works out. I'd hate to see a project so simple kind of fall through the cracks. All it's supposed to be is a cosplay album, really. And considering how much Heroes of Cosplay has sucked this week, you would really think that cosplay could use some positive news. I have not heard so much universal hatred towards one show before from a community, but the actual cosplayers just despise that reality show.
More power to them, but I think they take the whole cosplay thing way too seriously.
Well, you know they chose the wrong person when they said that Yaya Han was pretty much the international, ambassador of cosplay. And in the first 5 minutes, she says, cosplay isn't about fun. It's about getting followers.
Okay. Oh.
Fucking bitch! You know, I don't know what else to say about that. I mean, egotistical cunt!
Well, everybody has their reasons for doing things. We just know hers now.
I now have a reason to cunt punt her. I mean, jeez. Also from the Kickstarter corner, the Geek Out Bar has 6 days left on it. They're at 422 backers, and out of a goal of 9750, they're at 28,613. So they did get a burst of money recently.
Nice.
I don't think they'll reach their 50,000 stretch goal. But if they can get to at least 40,000, they'll have Advanced Acoustics put into place.
Nice.
Remember, their ultimate stretch goal is at 70,000, where they put in a replica of the Iron Throne.
I would pay just for that.
Well, obviously they're doing the HBO replica, not the conceptual replica that Martin keeps talking about.
That would be insane.
Yeah. But I did find a new Kickstarter that came up. It's called Project Cosplayers Unite. The idea is basically that cosplayers are going to bring together 17 of the more notable ones from the community and send them to London for a digital magazine shoot. It's not a bad concept. They go to London Comic Con. They get together and do a special calendar and a group photo shoot, probably individually as well. It's in pounds, so that tells me that they're... Obviously, this is a London project. It already has 122 backers. They have a goal of 30,000 pounds, but they've already reached 5,383 pounds. And there's 23 days to go on it. If you donate upwards of 400 pounds, which I think is somewhere in the tune of about $600, as long as you can make your own way to the UK, you'll be invited to have a meal with all of the cosplayers and the team putting this on, as well as a weekend ticket to MCM Comic-Con in London, a thank you postcard, three posters, a behind-the-scenes DVD, a Cosplayers Unite calendar, exclusive Cosplayers Unite t-shirt. Sounds like you get quite a bit for $600, actually.
Yeah.
You know, the flight, however, in my case, it would hurt to donate that much and then have to put together a flight in a hotel for a Comic-Con I don't know if I could make it to.
Yeah.
It'd be a unique experience at the very least. But into the actual news, DC has let things slip a little early for my taste. We've discussed how they're having a Trinity War right now. Their three Justice League teams are at war over something, and they're obviously being manipulated. And next month is when Forever Evil starts, where apparently most of the heroes in the DC universe have vanished, or at least the more powerful ones, it seems, and the villains are kind of running amok. Unfortunately, Geoff Johns revealed that the Trinity War and Forever Evil twist is that the Crime Syndicate is the ones behind the whole thing. For those who don't know, the Crime Syndicate was something that's been around for a long time in the DC universe. It's an alternate dimension where the Justice League are basically the villains running everything. Instead of Superman, you have Ultraman. Instead of Wonder Man, you have Superwoman. Instead of Batman, you have Owlman, and so on. So basically, they've already revealed that this evil Justice League is on top of everything. And apparently, the only people left to fight it is a Batman, and they say it may not be Bruce Wayne in the costume, and a ragtag collection of people who are only moderately evil, like Lex Luthor, and Catwoman, and Sinestro, and Black Manta. You know, they say it's supposed to be a storyline where some people may find out they're not as evil as they think, or that there's many layers of gray between good and evil, which everybody knows already. Magneto's a fucking X-Man. I don't know how people haven't clued in on that one yet. But
well, this might be a good step for DC to actually add some character to their characters.
You'd think so, but I mean, this is supposed to be the big twist where everyone goes, oh, so that's what's going on! But we've already gotten it.
Yep.
That's a little sad.
That is a little sad.
Yeah. You know, maybe they're just trying to... I mean, the Villains Month seems to be getting a lot of press. Maybe the Justice League or the Trinity War wasn't getting enough, so they just decided to let it fly.
Hmm.
Either way, they could have held that one for a while. This almost made me laugh my balls off. Did you guys hear about a skyscraper going up in Spain?
Nope.
No. Without the elevator?
Yeah, Benidorm, Spain. Apparently, this thing was only designed to have 20 floors, but the developers got a little crazy and pushed the design to include 47 floors, 269 homes. Unfortunately, by the time they were done, they finally realized that they didn't leave space for an elevator anywhere.
I cannot believe that happened.
Wow.
Yeah.
Calling all fitness nuts who like climbing stairs.
Yeah, really, the people on the 47th floor are going to have tremendous thighs.
I don't know. Hopefully they have some kind of ability to structurally add on an elevator maybe to the outside of the building.
Well, there's a problem, though. See, the recession hit, and the developer of the building went bankrupt, and this thing has cost like 100 million euros so far.
Oh, shoot.
It gets even better in that they've already sold 35% of the apartments in the building to international buyers as Dubai-style luxury.
Ooh.
The building is 95% complete, so literally the only way to put in an elevator right now is to take an entire column of rooms and start demolishing. Probably two, technically.
Oh.
Doesn't that just suck? There's not even a service elevator by that definition. They'd have to take three columns.
Fired.
Oh, yeah. Somebody is not getting asked to design crap. Stan Lee is... I don't think it's very arguable. He is still the king of comics at his age. I think he's in his 90s now. Unfortunately, though, he did let a little information slip. He did say that on top of everything else, Marvel Movies is apparently working on both a Black Panther and Doctor Strange films.
Oh.
And since they haven't been announced yet formally, I'm going to guess that they're supposed to be part of the Phase 3 plans.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I would have thought the Black Panther would be a little further up. I mean, as far as superheroes go, he's a little more conventional and a lot easier to pull off. But to each their own, we've always said at least they dig in the catalog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, that's apparent by the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Well, I got some news on that front.
You mean Vin Diesel is the tree?
Yep, and there's a rumor that they got the voice of the raccoon, too.
And who is that supposed to be?
Sean Gunn?
He hasn't confirmed anything yet, so that's still kind of hazy.
Like I said, but rumored.
Yeah. Vin Diesel was the voice of the Iron Giant in the animated film.
Really?
Yeah, so he's already been able to play something cold and lifeless. And I don't mean the Iron Giant, I mean the Fast and the Furious films. But, I had to. But, yeah, he's going to play the prince of a world that calls himself Groot. He's a living tree. And all of his dialogue throughout the comic books is, I am Groot.
Should be simple.
I think Diesel has just enough range to pull that off. But we'll see how it goes. Angelina Jolie was at the D23 Expo over last weekend. There's pictures of her in the Maleficent costume. She apparently scared all the kids on the set except for one in her performance. So that's not bad. Apparently her daughter wasn't buying it, though. Vivian Jolie Pitt just, you know, that's her mommy. She's not going to buy that. That's a mean lady.
Of course.
But there wasn't many surprises that came out of D23. Apparently, most of those were held for Comic-Con. The usual kind of interviews and tropes went on. Tom Hiddleston did show up at D23, but he didn't show up as Loki. He showed up as himself. He did sing, though.
He can always be in character.
Yeah. Somebody on Retroware put up an interesting article about how Final Fantasy VII ruined everything, as he put it.
Okay.
It isn't... He does have kind of a point here, because Final Fantasy VII, compared to most games, had a very large design team at about 100 people, when most design teams are somewhere around 20. Unfortunately, though, Squaresoft, you know, never really learned when enough is enough, because after that, Final Fantasy VIII had like 180 developers on it. And that seems to be about the average of what they have on their Final Fantasy games. Arguably, more is not necessarily better.
True.
You know, they may have gotten things too complicated for their own good, and that's why half these games seem to have, I don't know, incongruent ideas. There are some things that don't mesh well with others.
What was that you were talking about the other day, Jesse? I think it was you.
The forget can't talk. Anything about concept art for a canceled Final Fantasy XII spinoff?
They can keep spinning that. I can't say I care anymore. You know, they have killed my interest in those games quite a while ago.
Well, the thing I found kind of interesting from that was that apparently they didn't realize that they were working on a Final Fantasy game, and then eventually the company went bankrupt and whatnot, so nothing ended up happening with it anyway. But, you know, here they have this concept art that looks nothing like Final Fantasy because nobody ever even told them they were working on a Final Fantasy game, so they didn't design art for a Final Fantasy game. So that just kind of... If that is true, that kind of backs up the whole, well, I think they're getting just a little too complicated, the whole thing.
Yeah.
But then, of course, the other rumor was that none of those people even got paid.
Because can't say
of
that.
How things went down.
I wish I could say that's surprising at this point. Okay. I asked everybody in the room to check out a video by a cosplayer named Chloe Dykstra. She has her own YouTube channel. And she put up a lot of interesting points that it's very frustrating for some people in cosplay these days, not necessarily because they're doing anything wrong, but because so many people have so many opinions that they just seem to pull straight out of their assholes and throw at people. It is kind of frustrating for some people because a lot of people will give cosplayers shit up and down the bar about all kinds of reasons.
I think we've talked about this a little bit, so...
We have bounced on it, but I have to say that she put it together very eloquently, especially for just a video that's about 6.5 minutes long.
Right.
It does go through a lot of the problems, and it does seem to be not necessarily a problem of outsiders looking at cosplay. It really is other cosplayers looking at cosplayers and just kind of giving them shit. It's almost paramount to when a fundamentalist Christian says that other people just aren't religious enough. You know, and she does have a point that there is no such thing as a real cosplayer or a fake cosplayer. There's just people doing it.
Yeah.
You know, so I would invite everybody to check out this video. It does vent a lot of the frustrations that we've talked about, how new people are discriminated against, people who buy costumes are discriminated against, or even just plain attractive people who show up for the first time are discriminated against. So
a lot of this kind of behavior just in general across the board, not just in nerd things.
Yeah, but unfortunately nerds are on top right now, and now we're figuring out how to really do it to each other.
Yeah, that's true.
But in other convention news, Baltimore has had its a big anime convention, arguably number two in the country for a long time, Otakon. They announced as of August 11th that they are moving to D.C., as of their next year.
Wow.
They are citing that Baltimore is having several issues, including renovating the convention center, that they may or may not go through with, but if they do, obviously that's going to constrict the amount of available space, and rather than sit on their thumbs like some other large conventions that we won't mention, they have decided to get proactive, and since DC has an opening in a time frame they need, they're going to move down the street.
Yeah.
I can't say that I have an issue with this. You know, they're...
It's going to be more expensive, but...
Relatively,
yeah, they're
but...
They're being proactive, so it gives people time to prepare for that.
Yeah, well, DC obviously is going to have more hotels. They're going to have the space necessary to hold this. As long as they can hold 32,000 in a convention, and with all the political stuff, they probably could. This is a good move. You know, it beats waiting for the SPJA to say anything.
Yeah.
The footage that I've talked about from Comic-Con for the Guardians of the Galaxy and the X-Men movies upcoming.
Yeah.
They were leaked online. And, of course, almost as soon as they were leaked, Disney came across with its lawyers and got a lot of it yanked off.
Oh, fun.
But if you look well, you may still be able to find it. I saw some video of Rocket Raccoon doing his thing. I saw some brief glimpses of Zoe Saldana and Dave Bautista in their makeup. I didn't see anything of Groot, but then again, this is all tester footage. It's not like they put together an actual trailer for anything yet. But I did see glimpses of Bishop and Blink, and they did look really damn good. So, there may still be parts of it out there, but you'll have to look pretty well to find it. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. we talked about. They're starting up as of September 24th on ABC. Thankfully, they're not on CBS, otherwise you might not find it on Time Warner.
Or Fox.
Or Fox. But they're already expanding the cast. They're adding... an actor from Harry Potter, actually, Ian Hart.
Which one is he?
He was the one who played Voldemort's first host in the very first movie.
Oh, okay. But I have seen him.
Yeah, he was playing Professor Quirrell.
Yeah, the dude with the turban.
Yeah. They haven't said what exactly his role is, but it's supposed to be recurring, whatever it is.
Okay.
That's cool.
At least they're operating with a plan. Microsoft has made yet another change to the Xbox One.
I heard about that.
Yeah.
Which one?
They no longer require the Kinect sensor to be plugged in for the system to function. This has been a big contention among people because with this thing on, obviously it has a passive camera on at all times. They don't want a camera on in their living rooms at all times, which I can relatively respect, but I mean, if you turn the damn thing off, it's not supposed to be on, is it?
Who knows?
Well, I mean, the Xbox One.
Is watching.
Why not just unplug the frickin' thing, then?
Yeah.
You know, it amazes me that people's laziness is the thing that trumps their overall security. I mean, if I was that worried about it, every time I was done, I would just walk over to my power bar and turn the damn thing off.
Or you can, yeah, get lazy and just toss a towel over it.
That too.
Socks,
what the heck?
Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, if I really wanted people to stop looking, I could horrify them and have sex in front of it. Nobody wants to see that.
Post a sexy picture of yourself, you know, in a Speedo or something like that. Just tape it over the camera.
Hey, NSA, how you like the banana hammock, eh? I'd give myself chills thinking about that. They've released the special collector's edition of Batman Arkham Origin, or at least a preview of what it's going to be. It is going to be $120. I'm a fan of the series. We discussed how I'm trepidatious about this one because they changed development teams. I don't need this myself. It comes with a wanted poster of Batman, profiles on all 8 assassins after him, small bits of items that you can log in as evidence, a Batman wanted poster, early designs for what looks like the Batplane, a couple other Anarchy designs, a sticker, a commemorative Blu-ray called Necessary Evil that apparently has to do with the Joker's part in this game, as well as a statue reminiscent of basically when the Joker was running Arkham Asylum, complete with LED lights in it. And of course you get a copy of the game.
No.
I don't need all this.
No.
I mean, the statue looks really nifty, would look great on a shelf, but all this other stuff sitting around, I would do is chase my kids away from the box.
I like stuff.
Speaking of which, I have a story that you might like, V. Have you guys heard of Design Taxi?
No.
It's a website where designers can put up graphic designs based on characters or original stuff. Somebody put together a series of designs of Avengers-themed sex toys.
Oh.
Six sex toys, the Captain America, the silicone vibrator, the Iron Man with twin motors, Thor with an electrical stimulator, Hawkeye with a G-spot vibrator. The Black Widow, the discreet clitoral stimulator. And the Hulk, 12 inches of pain. Maybe he could look this up. I don't know. I just saw this and thought this was interesting, and I thought you guys would find it interesting as well.
I find it amusing. I still don't think it beats the Japanese sex egg, though.
What, Moto Stretchy?
Yeah, yeah. That just the way he said that in the commercial was just.
Oh, let's get back on track.
I think we've derailed pretty significantly. This is an interesting piece of news. There's a new gas that may eliminate all carbon emissions. A man named Daniel Baer of Hydro Infra Technologies has developed this new fuel that the idea is it has nanites in it. Let me see. What is the name of it? It's called HNG. That's short for hydro nano gas. The idea is it works with current gas engines and instantly neutralizes carbon fuel pollution emissions. I don't know if that means it's a replacement for gas or if it's a gas additive, but if this works, man, we could finally have a world where we're not actually killing each other.
Yeah, it just means one of the gas companies will buy it out and quietly sink the idea.
Well, we'll still kill each other over other things.
I didn't say I didn't have a sharp knife, but at least driving to work won't be killing babies.
Yeah, that'd be swell.
That would be groovy, yeah. Also, an interesting nerd news. The Japanese have all kinds of interesting uses for robots. They programmed one that fell in love with a girl.
Eyes are rolling.
Well, researchers at Toshiba's Akimu Robotic Research Institute were thrilled 10 months ago when they successfully programmed Kenji, a third-generation humanoid robot, to convincingly emulate certain human emotions. At the time, they even claimed that Kenji was capable of the robot equivalent of love. Here's the problem. It did love a girl very much. Unfortunately, it also loved anything that fell in its viewpoint. In other words, they created an obsessive stalker robot.
Oh, awesome.
There was one woman who was supposed to run regular diagnostics with it. It even fell in love with her so much that it repeatedly hugged her to the point where she couldn't leave the room.
need to make a robot shrink now for that thing.
She had to call her coworkers, who finally came in and deactivated it for a short time so that she could leave. Despite our initial enthusiasm, it has become clear that Kenji's impulses and behavior are not entirely rational or genuine, conceded Dr. Takahashi. So he's a sociopath!
Yeah, pretty much.
Can you be a sociopath when you're not really fully people?
Oh, it went on to say that ever since that incident, each time Kenji is reactivated, he instantaneously bonds with the first technician to meet his gaze and rushes to embrace them with his 200-kilogram hydraulic arms. It doesn't help that Kenji only uses pre-recorded dog and cat noises to communicate and is able to vocalize his love through a 20-watt speaker in his chest. So basically, you can imagine this thing comes rushing at you, arms akimbo, and all you hear is, hur, hur, hur.
Okay, it's
a little afraid.
It's a robotic
it crushes
dog
you in its embrace while you hear cute puppy noises coming from it. Excellent.
And I love the final.
If it's crushing you to its chest where the speaker is, you're being deafened by these.
I love the final line in this. Dr. Takahashi goes on to say, "This is only a minor setback."
Minor.
Yeah, I hate to see what you call a grand fucking failure. I have full faith that we will one day live side by side with and eventually love and be loved by robots. Only in Japan!
Yeah, I'm suddenly reminded so much of Chobits that it's...
Honestly, grand failure would involve blood.
I don't need to piss blood every time my loved ones hug me. That would be my nightmare. And there was a weird study that came out today. It was a team led by Miron Zuckerman of the University of Rochester that they say they found a reliable negative relation between intelligence and religiosity. In 53 out of 63 studies, their overall results were that they found that religious people were less intelligent than atheists for some reason.
I've read that
one. I don't buy it, but whatever.
I didn't say I had reason for it. This is just one of those odd things that came out. I don't quite understand what the reasoning behind it is. They say they're only... I guess their only measurement was IQs. I don't know if that had to do with cognitive ability or anything like that. But yeah. This was apparently published in the Academic Journal of Personality and Social Psychology Review.
Well, I actually read that article. In my opinion, the reason they're drawing the conclusion is that the people that they're surveying tend to favor reason and scientific method over other things, and usually the logic of the age is that you can't if you can't prove it that it exists, then it doesn't exist effectively, or you can't believe that it exists. If that makes sense. That was horribly put, but...
I think I overall understand it. You're talking about empirical fact, right?
Yes. If you can't prove that something's empirically true, then you can't... I'm not necessarily trying to advocate one way or another. I'm just explaining that is where they're getting the correlations.
I'm sure it's one of those things they're going to debate on Fox News forever.
No, they won't debate it on Fox News.
I don't know why they'd even, publish something like that, because that's inflammatory. Even if it's true, and what's the point of publishing it?
I have no idea. It was just one of those things where as it crossed my newsfeed, I'm looking at it going, who has this much time?
Who
funded that? I
don't know.
Probably the same people that tested and found out that drunk ants fall to the right.
Left. It was the left.
Oh, okay.
That was UCLA.
That could have easily have come up testing something else. I'm sure they weren't testing which way the ants fell, but this study is... Well,
Are you kidding? I'm more concerned that they found this out at a study at UCLA, which meant my tax dollars went to this. Did my tax dollars fund tiny beer bottles?
No, it funded the misting beer on ants. Why?
Because we need to know where to put the spikes when the giant ones come to take over the planet? I don't know.
I don't know.
But at the beginning of the show, I used a little...
Steal my beer at a picnic. This isn't right.
Now we know how to defeat Ant-Man.
Get him drunk. Right, okay.
Does anybody have anything else?
Google did something with Wi-Fi.
What'd they do?
They're using balloons or dirigibles or whatever over third world powers to create a Wi-Fi, carrying Wi-Fi equipment.
Hmm.
Yeah, and they've tested in several areas, including Southern California. Although, also in part of the article, Bill Gates came, and I'm putting this bluntly, Bill Gates first says, it's a waste of time.
It is risky. That's the type of thing where your communication network can be undone by a powerful rifle.
But yeah, they have field tested in several locations.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm not quite sure what to say. It's weird. You know, we still need a definitive power infrastructure before we need balloons carrying Wi-Fi.
Oh, I saw some videos for our trailers or interviews or whatever for Kick-Ass 2.
That looks so, like it's going to... The more I see that, the more fun I'm convinced it's going to be.
It's probably going to be quite fun.
Admittedly, the bit I saw... showcase Mother Russia, which at first glance, when I saw it, I was like, is that Janeway?
Yeah, I'm sure Kate Mulgrew was a little busy that evening.
Oh, no. And then, you know, I finally saw her face and there's eye patch. What? Kurt Russell? I'm sorry. Those were my first impressions when I saw that actor.
Well, the early review I read that came out on it said that it was much more violent, and as long as you're willing to get through that, it's actually a lot of fun. I do think some people are going to take the violence a little too seriously and consider that the only message of the film, where the film is, it's a parody of comic books in general, so, as is the comic, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, it's violent.
Well, I'm not letting my kids watch this. Yeah, no shit.
What was it? Has that resolution with Christian Bale over $50 million, you know, resolved yet?
What are you talking about?
Wait, what?
Warner Brothers, Disney, Warner Brothers, I think, is still trying to get Christian Bale to play Batman. And they're offering a lot of money. I'm not sure if he actually accepted it or not.
Yeah, but he's already done it three times, and they paid him enough money where he doesn't have to accept that money.
Yeah, I don't think
he's Warner Brothers still trying.
I don't think he's really that much of a money person. I could be wrong, but
no, he's ever since his little tirade on the Terminator set, he's worked really hard to help other people and just kind of put that behind him, and it seems to have worked. I just, you know, I can't see him doing this again because even he admits that there were certain times where he did not do well in the role. So I think he wants to distance himself from it and not get shoehorned into I'm the second string Batman for the rest of my life.
Although
plenty of other great work. So.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, Adam West is always the first stringer.
No comment.
Damn you, Joker!
This is a little side note on the article I found that on. Apparently, someone pointed out that Batman, Superman, and Spider-Man, three of America's most iconic superheroes, haven't been portrayed by British actors lately.
So?
I don't know, it was just something.
There's nothing I can help if the Brits happen to have the talent.
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
You know, if other
Brits
people,
and
if
Canadians.
If you guys want Americans to play these roles, get talented Americans. I dare you! Oh, God. At the beginning of the show, I used a clip. Keith Apicary was at the roast of the Angry Video Game Nerd, and he kind of killed the podium. I don't know what else to say. But this week I asked for an interesting read because I asked everyone to read a Dark Horse compilation of the characters of Tag and Bink. Steve, who are Tag and Bink?
Tag and Bink are the unknown heroes of the Star Wars universe.
Where have they been?
Everywhere. They've been on the Death Star, they've been on Alderaan, they've been on... which was
Ship
the,
at the
planet,
beginning?
Dude, everywhere.
Okay, I know a bunch of people are scratching their heads because you can just sense the nerds going, I've seen Star Wars, and those assholes aren't anywhere. Unfortunately for you guys, they were in there. I don't know if you consider it retcon, or maybe it was just one of those things George Lucas never talked about in interviews, but it turns out that there were two characters, I can never remember their last names, that were named Tag and Bink, that have been in just about every scene of about at least three Star Wars films. And
well,
a little bit of the...
They even go back and put them into the first three.
Yeah, they were in the prequels, too, in bits. V, you're the light reader among us. What was your opinion of this this rewriting of history?
Cunning, however, kind of sophomoric, and really disjointed at places. Like, it would jump from one segment to another with... At least I didn't really understand the transition in between. I wasn't sure if that was intentional or sort of a byproduct of the style.
I think it may have been a byproduct of the writing style. There did seem to be at least in the version I had, I think there were a couple pages missing, but I'm not 100% on that.
Yeah, I think the jumping around that you noticed was just due to the fact that they only focused on their parts of the story of the Star Wars movies. So, you know, having already seen, you know, the Star Wars movies, what's happening in between is so they're just focusing on the points that these characters come into it.
Yeah, and then they just sort of skip from one scene to the next. And we know the thing. Yeah, we know what's happened in between, but we don't really know what's happened with these characters in between.
Yeah, it is kind of a requirement to have a really... to be really familiar with at least the original trilogy of Star Wars films.
Yeah. I am really familiar with the trilogy. I have seen them to the point that I no longer enjoy them.
Oh, wow.
That speaks volumes.
Yes. Well, I mean, at least not as much. I won't claim to like they're stealing, but...
I do have to give the director of this mini credit, because he managed to find places to stick these characters in all over the place.
Yeah.
To the point where you would not conventionally think that anything else could have been added to those films. There was something added.
Yes.
And it is to the point now where occasionally when I come across these things on, like, Spike TV or on TNT and I'm watching these movies, every once in a while I do giggle because I think, there they are.
Yeah. I don't know. It just my personal favorite parts of it were where they got the drop on Boba Fett. And just the whole line, you know, where he's like, do you know who I am? And he's just like, yes, but you don't know who we are. And that's all the advantage we need. They take off, and boom, here they are at Cloud City, and where's Boba Fett? And they're just like, oh, he's good. You know, and just that, and on Cloud City, where C-3PO walks in there, and they shoot him.
Yeah,
and just
boring.
The fact that he's just like, I said, when I saw that thing, I was going to shoot him. I was just like, that makes so much more sense. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I do have to admit, now that scene in Empire Strikes Back actually has a story to it instead of just, oh my god, kill it!
Yes. Indeed. It actually added something to the movie, so bravo.
You know, they also added some interesting characterization to Lando Calrissian throughout this thing.
Oh, yes.
You know, so in their version, he's not just the bastard that betrayed his best friends. He's the guy with the impossible choice, and all he has to rely on are these two idiots.
Yeah.
Could be worse. He could be one of them who has to rely on each other.
Well, for a couple of rebel, what would you say, members, they do spend an awful lot of time in stormtrooper uniforms.
Yeah.
It's better than the alternative.
Well, I mean, it's just reading through it, they did point out a few things that I never really picked up on as a kid, such as how impossible it would be to see out of one of these things.
Right? You know, I actually remember having thought that they looked very, blindsided.
I don't know. To me, they always look like space-age versions of Mario Brothers enemies. But... it's just looking at their heads, you gotta admit, they don't have any peripheral vision whatsoever in these things. The sight lines are horrible.
Absolutely.
Maybe they have a heads-up display?
Maybe in current technology, but when you think about how these things were planned out in the 70s, they were still flipping switches to get their ships to run.
Well, I'm going to say they have a heads-up display.
Yeah, let's go with that!
Yeah, sure. Let's go.
No, but
with that.
I mean, one of the most brilliant lines in there is, you know, how do you think they see in these, or why do you think they have helmets with such crappy view? Maybe it goes along with their idea of blind allegiance.
Right? That was a great line. I also like the part when with Anakin and Padme.
That was a strange bit of rewriting that he's getting love advice from a couple of shrimp kids that are younger than the ones I have at home.
Well, to be fair, that scene in the movie was really kind of... They had room to have those conversations.
They have room to drive a truck through that first trilogy, let alone that scene where he's talking about sand. You know, I hate sand. Oh my god, is he drunk? What happened?
I don't even remember most of those scenes.
There's a reason for that.
I would wait for the Obi-Wan scenes.
You know, listening to Hayden Christensen chew on the desert, almost literally. But, I mean, these guys were everywhere. They were random guards throughout the Death Star. They were on the first ship where Princess Leia was captured by Vader. They were even there when they tried to free Han Solo from the Sarlacc pit.
Which explains why Boba Fett was so bumbling.
Yeah, why he was so pissed off all the time. There was all kinds of little hints in there. They were even the Imperial Guards in the Emperor's Chamber in Return of the Jedi.
Yes! They were there at the end.
And these guys were just insane.
It would be really fun if Disney would come out and actually animate this.
Actually, these two in a TV show might be thoroughly entertaining. Did anyone notice some of the odd sight gags in there? Like when the Emperor was greeted by Darth Vader on the Death Star, they're walking back, you know, Tag and Banker at the end of a procession, but in between them... Yeah, there were Cylons in between.
I did not notice that.
There's a couple of silver helmeted, like 70 Cylons.
When they're in the
in the cantina with talking to Lando on their way to, you know, freeing Han. You saw Sullivan from Monsters Inc. in there.
Well, not only that, but I mean, when they were being recruited by the Jedi Academy, they were picked up by Jedi Knights. Apparently, Jay and Silent Bob.
Yeah, right.
I saw that. I saw that.
You know, I can see where V's coming from. It is a bit the comedy in here is a bit juvenile, but I got to give him so much credit for deftly inserting a couple of characters everywhere.
Yeah, I would say that the latter is more important than the former. It's definitely very clever and accessible.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, if people are a heavy fan of Star Wars, some people may find this insulting that they went through so much trouble to basically kind of add a riff track for all intents and purposes to Star Wars. But
those guys were in there too.
Yeah, but I think this was some added levity, because there are times where the series can take itself way too fucking seriously.
Poor Manny Bothans.
Poor us. We had to suffer through three movies of that fish-headed Jar Jar Binks. But you can pick up the trade nowadays pretty simply on these things. It's only about four and a half issues long, and it only costs about $8. It really is a fun addition to your collection, and you could find yourself on the end of a lot of jokes that even Star Wars fans will just kind of blink at and not understand. So, I don't know about you guys, but I would recommend people pick this up just for the sake of it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's definitely, it's short, it's sweet, you know, and it'll make you laugh.
Oh my god, I'm trying to think if there's anything else this week, because we went through it rather quickly. I did spend a little time thinking about the next couple weeks, and I think next week I got a little something more interactive for you guys, because I usually recommend stories or arcs where we should read through and try and get caught up.
You play Tomb Raider?
You can play Tomb Raider if you want. But this one is going to be a little more of a curiosity for you guys, because I want you to find two or three issues of next week's books and read them and be prepared to talk about it.
Next week's
books?
Yeah, in other words, stuff that comes out next Wednesday. Or this Wednesday, if you want. I want you guys to see if you can find something out there that you want to read, or at least, you know, you sniff at it and think, eh, that might be fun, and pick it up and read it, and see if you can find something new you'd like to check out.
That is actually a tall order for me, because I realized the other day, outside of the Dresden Files, Game of Thrones, most of the things I read were written in, like, the 70s.
Well, that doesn't bother me at all, V, because I want you to find something you're interested in. It's like they're still doing a Swamp Thing series these days.
I'm sure I'll find something.
Yeah. You know, it is a bit of a challenge, but I want you guys to do it, because the week after next, there's going to be no reading on this one. I think it's time that we just kind of sat down around the table and had a discussion about superheroes. And when I say that, I mean that we've had discussions of what makes up a superhero. We've had a discussion of what would happen if some normal schmutz got their hands on superheroic powers. But I don't think we've ever actually had a discussion, what would we be like as superheroes?
Ooh, I would totally dig that.
I mean, the four of us.
I've discussed this with other people.
Yeah, the four of us have not really discussed what kind of powers we like, what kind of dick we would be. You know, would we need a secret lair? What kind of villains would we have? I think it's about time we just kind of sat down and dug into each other's heads for once.
Man, I'm having to roll a will save just to not do that right now.
V is having a nerdgasm, and all I did was bring it up.
Well, I literally have discussed this with people, so I have things to say.
So I do think
oh,
it's...
Oh, man.
Jesse, do not have a conniption on me.
No. Oh, my mind is rolling right now.
Oh, great. I'm sure we're all going to show up in 2 weeks, not just ready to talk. We're all going to show up with like 20-sided die. Let's see what I get. Thump. Oh, shit.
Roll my stats.
I create fire from my thumb. So I think that'd be a fun idea, at least. Because goodness knows, we seem to have the most fun when we're not exactly... talking about comic books we read, but talking about living through them.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still sorry that one pop culture profiling accidentally fell through, and we should do that sometime in the near future again, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a little while. It's been a while. Don't hurt me.
Don't.
Don't. Actually, really don't like that song.
I could sing "Row, row, row your boat."
Row, row, row your boat.
Row, row, row. Oh, piss. She left me hanging.
Why?
So I invite you guys to roll with us again next week when we're going to dig into the current bins and just see what we find is interesting. I am Jeremy.
Steve.
Jesse.
And V.
3 days later. Thank you very much! Wow, what was that?
Sorry, that was my hand connecting with the mic.
Alright, stop spanking the mic!
I wasn't spanking the mic, I was poking it.
That doesn't sound any better.
Hey, you should be happy that I kept my mouth shut after that whole robot story, and I was just thinking to myself, well, at least they didn't attach the Incredible Hulk, you know, thing to it, because then, you know,
you should have said that. That would have blood. You should have said that. That would have been fucking funny.
Then there really would have been blood.
I haven't shut off the recording. I may have to splice that one fucking in.